We saw in the previous Mishnah the concept of yeshvach itzim bapas, that the gain which bread gets, or that any food gets from the wood which cooks it, is considered a real benefit. And therefore, if olah shells are used in order to set fire to them and cook a dish, the dish will be forbidden, just like the olah is forbidden to benefit from. We're going to see in our Mishnah a very, very similar case. Tanur she'siku b'klipei olah. This time there's an oven involved. An oven was fueled by olah shells. So somebody set fire to olah shells in an oven, v'ofer bo yisapas, and he baked bread in that oven. And by the way, in this Mishnah and in the previous Mishnah, the food which is cooked by the olah shells is only forbidden if the olah shells still exist. Meaning once the olah shells have been so burnt that they're just turned into coal and they don't really resemble what they were originally, so then the cooked dish won't be forbidden. But as long as the olah shells are still there, and they're still shells, so then whatever is cooked by it is forbidden, and therefore tzadik hapas, the bread must be burnt. And once again, it's orva ba'achiris. If the bread which is forbidden gets mixed with other permitted breads, then talib echdum osoyim, it is nullified 1 in 200, so only if there are at least 200 more permitted breads than the forbidden bread, only then would it be permitted. But otherwise, it would forbid the entire mixture of different pieces of bread. Now, the obvious question is, if we had a very similar case in the previous Mishnah, where some food was cooked by the orla shells, why do we need to teach this Mishnah, when the only difference is that in this Mishnah, it was cooked in an oven, as opposed to there just being a pot, or like a sort of stove? Whereas in this Mishnah, there's a tanner, which is actually a very hot form of an oven. But so what? Why would I have thought that cooking something in an oven, which is very hot, would be different to cooking something in a pot, if either way, at the end of the day, you are cooking food with orla? So the Mishnah Rishonah answers that I could have thought that this case would be different to the previous Mishnah. Because since the oven is heated up so much, it turns out that what is the bread being cooked by? So firstly, it's being cooked by the orla shells. But as well as that, now the oven is so hot that the oven itself contributes to the cooking and also helps to cook that food. And so I could have said that this is a case of zevo zegoyrim, where there are two different causes of a result, and one is a forbidden thing, in this case the orla, whereas the other thing is permitted, namely the oven. It's permitted to benefit from the oven, of course, and since we paskin that zevo zegoyrim is permitted, that the result, namely the bread being cooked, in this case, so that should be permitted, because one of the causes of it cooking was a permitted cause, it was from the oven. So I might have thought that the bread should be permitted. And that's why the Mishnah had to tell us that that is not the case, since the main thing which is cooking the bread is just the shells themselves, and that which the oven is doing, it's cooking it in a different way. And we only say zevo zegoyrim if the two things are doing the same thing. But since the shells and the oven are cooking it in a different way, we would not say zevo zegoyrim, and therefore the bread is still forbidden, since at the end of the day, it did gain from orla shells. That's the main point to take out of this Mishnah. Mishnah Vov, we have seen throughout this Masechta that the laws of Klei HaKerem, of another species which is planted in a vineyard, the laws of that which grows from there are very similar to that which grows from an orla tree. For example, it's also nullified 1 in 200, and as we're going to see in this Mishnah, it also needs to be burnt. As the Mishnah tells us, Mishoyulei Chavile Tilton, somebody who had bundles of tilton, which is a certain vegetable, a certain legume, shall Klei HaKerem of Klei HaKerem, meaning that this tilton was planted together in a vineyard next to a vine, and that's forbidden, and it's forbidden to benefit from that which grows from there. Says the Mishnah Yidolku, it has to be burnt. And as well as that, it's Oruv Ba'achirim, if the bundles of tilton, which are Klei HaKerem, are mixed together with permitted bundles of tilton, and it's unknown which bundle is the forbidden one, says the Mishnah Kulam Yidolku Divi Rabbi Meir, all of the bundles need to be burnt according to Rabbi Meir. Because as we have seen a number of times in this perek, according to Rabbi Meir, a dovash of a minyan, which means something which is counted, something which is sold by number but not by approximation, so you would sell a specific number of these bundles, you wouldn't sell approximately that number, something like that is considered a dovar choshev, a significant and important thing, such that it cannot be nullified. So even if there are 200 times more permitted bundles, the forbidden one would not be nullified, and all of the bundles must be burnt. Now the Gemara explains that a bundle contains 25 stalks, and that's what makes it such a significant thing. But if it was only individual stalks of tilton, so then even Rabbi Meir would agree that it is not considered a significant thing, and so it would be nullified. Either way, Rav HaChacham Omer Chacham say that even in a case of bundles, Yalu Be'echad Masayim, even a bundle of Klea Kerem Tilton, this vegetable which was Klea Kerem, it was planted in a vineyard, that would be nullified 1 in 200. So if there are at least 200 permitted bundles in that mixture, then the mixture would be permitted to benefit from. Mishnah Zayin, we're now going to see the actual reasons for Rabbi Meir and the Chachomim that we have been talking about for much of this perek. Because the Mishnah says, Shohar Rabbi Meir Omer, because Rabbi Meir would say, Es Shadaika Limonos, any item where the general custom was to count it, meaning that you would sell it by specific number, that shows that it's considered a significant thing, and that you're careful to sell and to know exactly how many you are selling. Something like that, Mekadesh, which in this context and in the context of many mixtures, Mekadesh means that it forbids the entire mixture, and it cannot be nullified, regardless of how many permitted items are in the mixture. The entire mixture will be forbidden, because a dover choshev, something which is considered significant, cannot be nullified, and according to Rabbi Meir, an example of a significant thing of a dover choshev is a dover sheba minyan, which means something which is counted and sold by exact number. On the other hand, the Chachomim say, there are only six things which would forbid an entire mixture, regardless of how small the forbidden thing is, and regardless of how many permitted things there are. Because according to the Chachomim, only a real Dover Choshev, something which is really significant and important, and valuable, only that cannot be nullified. Rabbi Akiva says Shiva. There are seven things, as we will see towards the end of the Mishnah. But Rabbi Akiva is of a very similar opinion of the Chachomim, that it has to be very valuable and significant and special for it to be considered a Dover Choshev and not bottle, not nullified. The Elohim and the following are those 6/7 things. Now the truth is, it's not exactly six things, because these six things are just considered the top brand, as it were, the best quality of that type of food. And according to the Chachomim, the very best and top quality food item of any category of food, that is considered significant. So for example, a gezei ferech, walnuts which come from the place called Perech, so those were the best walnuts. The remonet vodon, or the pomegranates which come from Bodon, again, those were the best pomegranates which you could get. The chovyei stumos, closed barrels, so very large containers of wine, where the containers are closed, so that was considered the best way to sell wine. And that is considered a very significant thing. It was very valuable, each one. The chufos terodin, the stalks of terodin, which is a certain type of vegetable, possibly beets, or kulsei cheruv, and cabbage stalks, or delas yevonis, and Greek gourd. And Rabbi Akiva says, akikosha balabayis, even the loaves which a private person bakes, as opposed to a baker. A baker's loaves were usually smaller, and therefore the loaves which a private person would bake for himself, those are considered the most significant and top type of bread which you could get. So according to the Chachomim and Rabbi Akiva, anything which is considered the top type of its category, that is considered a Dover Choshev, a significant thing which cannot be nullified. Now, it could be that Rabbi Akiva really agrees with the Chachomim, it's just that in his location, the baker's loaves of bread were smaller than a private person's loaves. And the Chachomim and Rabbi Akiva both agree that if things change, for example, if the Greek gourd stops being the top gourd which you could get, then it would be able to be nullified from then on. The point is, at that time, in that location, these were considered the top brands, and therefore they were considered significant such that they could not be nullified. Now the truth is, the things you mentioned just now, many of those things can't even become orla. Only things which go on trees could become orla. So for example, the pomegranates, or the walnuts, or even the wine which comes from grapes. And on the other hand, kilea kerem only really applies to things which don't grow on a tree. So that would refer to the rest of the things on the list. So the Mishnah says, Haroi l'orla, that which is fitting to become orla, orla, that would be forbidden as orla. And even if they're mixed with other permitted items, it would remain forbidden as orla. Whereas the things which are fitting l'klea kerem to be klea kerem, the things which grow on the ground itself, klea kerem, they would be forbidden as klea kerem, even if they are mixed together with other permitted items. Mishnah Ches, although in the previous Mishnah we listed 6 or 7 things which are considered a Dover Choshev, a significant thing, and therefore they cannot be nullified in a mixture, we're going to see now that that is only the case when they are whole, when they are as they are meant to be. So if you have a whole pomegranate which comes from Bodon, for example, so that is considered significant and it cannot be nullified. However, if the pomegranate is split open, it loses that status of being a significant Dover Choshev, and therefore it can be nullified. Now the truth is, this is even true after the mixture has taken place. So if, let's say, taking that example of the pomegranates from Bodon, which are considered a significant thing, so if you have Ola Bodon pomegranates, which are mixed together with, let's say, 500 permitted pomegranates, so at that point, the forbidden pomegranate is not nullified, because it's considered a davar choshev. However, if once they've been mixed even, they are then all smashed open, so then nullification will take place, and the entire mixture will become permitted. Now, of course, you can't go to the mixture and smash all the pomegranates open, because we've seen already in this Masechta the rule that Ein Mevatlin Isra Lechatchila. One cannot intentionally bring about a case of bittul. You can't intentionally nullify something. However, if by mistake they get smashed open, if something happens, then nullification will take place. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad, how so? And some versions of the Mishnah actually don't have that word, because that implies that it's explaining the previous Mishnah. However, really, we're going to explain an exception to the previous Mishnah. And that is, Nispatzu ha-gozim. If the walnuts are crushed open, Nispodu ha-remonim. If the pomegranates open up, they separate out. Nispatru ha-chovyos. If the barrels of wine are opened, Nischatru ha-deluim. If the gourds are cut, and again, all of this has to happen by mistake. Nisposu ha-kikores. If the loaves of bread, which the private person baked, if those are cracked open, if they are opened up, then again, Yalub echdu masayim. All of these things would be nullified 1 in 200, because they would no longer be considered a dovar choshev, a significant thing.